So does he? It wasn't good morning, Lincolnshire. It was good morning.
Good morning, Teesside.
Nice, yes. That's why we appreciate that energy that sort of just drives us through the whole thing. In the studio, sir, we've got two. Well, actually, there was one relative newbie and one sort of solo who's getting more experienced and embedded within the Southside culture. We'll go to Dee World first. Good morning, Dee. How are you?
Hello, I'm fine, thank you.
Connection, yes. Of course, with yourself and Sarah Gayton, though you don't realise it. Sarah actually did her degree at the University of Sunderland.
Aha! In radio?
No. What was your degree in, Sarah?
Well, actually, it was a polytechnic back then. That just fits how old I am. But I did environmental studies at the old Benedict building that I think now has disappeared. So, absolutely loved it in the northeast.
There
excellent.
We are.
Yeah, it's a good place to be.
All sorts
I tell you what, it's given me a massive grounding in what I've gone on to do in my career. So, you know what, absolutely, Sunderland Poly, well, now university, absolutely studying. Stunning place to study.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, other universities are available. I might mention Lincoln, but, you know, that's by the by. You know, carry on regardless. Jim, of course, was at the University of Leeds, I believe. Is that right?
That's right, yeah. Well, it was actually Leeds Met, the poor kids' university.
And was quite fascinated at the fact of your connection with Kosovo, Sarah. So before we start talking about the adventures you've been doing currently, just to reprise the listener and Dee and Jim in terms of what you were doing in Kosovo a few years ago, which is why, I mean, you know, you do a degree in Sunderland, why not go to a war zone? That's what I say.
That was it. Basically, I was asked to go to Rome with the World Health Organization for 3 months to do a placement. But literally, about 4 days before I flew to Rome, my then boss, Philip Rushbrook, asked me to go to Kosovo for 2 weeks because the French environmental health officer had I think he was having a nervous breakdown. So I didn't know what I was letting myself in for, but I went and basically we helped the Kosovan new government and the UN government that were working together to re-establish the basic water inspectorate. We helped just get some basic minimum standards in all of the hospitals to get the medical waste out of the waste stream. And we also worked through villages. We did like a community approach, and we helped the villages to identify their problems and give them only a little bit of cash, but to solve them. And you know what? One of the biggest achievements in one village, we had 60 new toilets. Okay, they just pit latrines, but we got 60 new toilets in 6 weeks just by working through the community. We also then went on to work with the UN Environmental Protection a division, basically. It was a new part of government. We've never had an environmental section before. And we got basic guidelines in. We got horrible, horrible waste cleaned up with the army's help. And we just did direct intervention to actually get environmental health, environmental protection working in that country because even though it's got some of the most outstandingly beautiful parts, it's also in hot spots, a very polluted part. So we had a tough task, but we did it.
We knew you would, as I've often said, Sarah. You are officially designated head of latrines person for the Midweek Drive and the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, and indeed the Southside Broadcasting Link-Up in association with Farm and All Nutritional Supplements Limited. And if you'd like somebody to actually work that into a jingle or a promo, Dee World's the person to go to. Amazing. Okay, so has that set the scene, Jim? You appreciate sort of the sort of quality of lady we're talking with here?
Oh, absolutely, and I can see she's a... not lacking in any energy
dynamo,
at all.
That's what we like, dynamo.
It's yeah. Awesome, Sarah. It's lovely to hear the work you've been doing. And you struck a chord with me there about getting clean water and toilets and things. It's like Glastonbury, but on a much bigger scale, I suppose. You realise how important it is to have clean water, and you only realise when you don't have it. So did you find the people, the Kosovans and that, were very helpful and grateful?
What it was, after the conflict that happened, the whole of Europe, to be honest, the whole of the world just poured in to that little country. And there was a lot of aid and assistance going in, and some was really good. But then some people were just sort of throwing the assistance at them.
Yeah.
And there was no engagement with the people. And it was really horrible to see, because these people, for 10 years, had managed to survive on virtually nothing with what was happening in that country, right? So they've got a resource for this, they've got the passion, and they wanted to help themselves. So what we did, we just went in, what were the people, and we worked with the people to identify their own problems. So it's like not telling them what to do, asking them, informing them, educating them, and then they knew what they needed. But when you have a toilet, basically upstream, that then runs next to your drinking water,
yeah,
you can suddenly see just some very simple changes from a toilet upstream to downstream. You've got an instant improvement in public health. Now, that did not cost much. And these are the small things that people can do. But one of my key bugbears with international development is these so-called consultants or people that go in and they are the big I am. This is what you've got to do. This is how you've got to do it. And there is a lot of people out there that do this sort of community approach, that go in and work with people, talk to people.
Yeah.
This is the problem. And if you have such a powerful force, and if you can get people behind you,
And one size doesn't fit all, does it, in these places?
Oh, I tell you what, this is it. There's a whole different approach. And in that first village we worked in, Jerry run the project, we got the Albanians, the Kosovans, to work with the Bosnian family in that community. And they all got a toilet. Now, they joined in. Now, that was the mixing of ethnic cultures together over toilets. And I tell you what, that's an amazing feat to do straight after a conflict.
Yeah.
And it was like the incinerators we put in, only very simple incinerators by De Montfort University design. We got the two groups working together, very distantly, but we got cooperation on environmental protection. And my biggest momentum is that environmental protection is neutral. It's not political. Everybody has to have access to safe drinking water. Everybody has to have access to a safe environment. And it's something that you can create this peace and cooperation. What Alex knows is, again, this concept called Farms on Film for Britain. Basically, we've also got cooperation in Afghanistan through farmers. Basic farmers did me a film through their university, and they've shown just what they do, their orchards, their flower orchards, their flower gardens, that they sell flowers to people. Now, that little video, absolutely inspiring. And if you read the emails that I've got back from the students that have done this work, they want peace, they want to love, they want to care, they want a peace for their family. Now, this is not your politician speaking, this is your bog standard normal Afghanistan person wanting a future, a peaceful,
yeah,
economic future for that. And this little concept can do it. All I've got to do is convince governments.
It'll happen. It's what we're about.
Also develop this cooperation between this university in Afghanistan, Kabul University, and take it forward. And we have something that none of the other media companies out there and the news channels out there can influence. And they can. It's how they report on incidents. We can do this through the social media and have something really positive. And we have to change the way that people report on global issues.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we can have a peaceful, a cooperative, and an absolute different vision for these countries if we get the media right.
And that's what we're working through, as you well know, Sarah. That's why Siren and Southside, we're on your side.
Ah, definitely, you're brilliant.
So let's move on briefly, because I know Jim's got a whole heap of other things, to why you were in Westminster this week. And various other bits and pieces, because you were in Westminster. We were actually dealing with the Great Yorkshire Show being cancelled after the first day due to inclement weather, and then the CLA Game Fair gets cancelled. And that means badminton's been cancelled, and then various other things have been cancelled, etc. So we just thought, never mind. But still, life continues. So what were you doing in Westminster at the same time?
Oh, yesterday. Absolutely inspirational, right? What happened is that a group of 17 of us went down to meet Norman Baker, the Minister for Transport, and to tell him that we wanted a public inquiry into the removal of our roundabout and road changes at Leek and to get it back. But do you know what happened? Oh, it was so funny. Basically, ITV Central were there, and they asked us to walk up to the building chanting, "We want roundabout back." So we did this, but we got it wrong.
You see, I'm thinking to myself, in Staffordshire, is there not more entertainment there than sort of thinking, "We want a roundabout back"? But this is an important roundabout, guys. You know, you've got to focus on this.
This was better than Coronation Street. An ITV newsman agreed with me. But basically, we walked past, so we got it wrong. Then we did it again. We got it wrong again. So the third time, she asked us, just stop out front outside the doors and shout, We want our roundabout back." So anyway, we were there. Absolutely brilliant.
Want our roundabout back. We want our roundabout back. We want our roundabout back.
Alex,
see where I'm going there, you know?
I tell you, I nearly got the fit of the giggles, because they've got this little thing that sticks
we
outside
want our
on the
roundabout
road
back.
Transport, and everybody was tripping over it. So I was trying not to laugh at that. But then they locked down. All the doors started to be locked up on the Department of Transport. So all the big round door.
They were
locked.
Frightened. It was the roundabout people come to get them.
Sounds
that's
like
what they thought. This police car sped past. I thought, I wonder where he's going. Well, he was fraud. Oh, man. Anyway, it was hilarious. So one of our guys went and talked to security. And the security man says, "I've seen you on YouTube." Oh, it was funny.
As you do, because that's what security often do, really. They're sort of, if they're not sort of checking passes, they're just checking their YouTube channels. Fair enough.
It was funny, Alex. Well, anyway, what happened then? The MEP, Phil Bennion, absolutely stunning gentleman. He was oblivious to what went on. Anyway, he says, "Come on then, Sarah, let's go in." Well, anyway, they nearly never let him in. And he says, we've got a meeting with the minister. And then anyway, they looked at me, because I've been part of protest. I've got the Queen's picture with the roundabout on. Mm. And they looked at me and says, she's coming to see the minister too. I said, let me in like this. Mm. Oh, it was so funny. Anyway, we did get to see the minister. And
you weren't arrested, Sarah, which is always good.
I just flipped my passport. I wish I'd still got my UN one. That absolutely killed him, wouldn't it, Alex? Absolutely killed him.
Diplomatic immunity. That and a siren pass card. That's our broadcasting. Fantastic.
It would have been hilarious. So anyway, we went into this meeting, and there wasn't just Norman Baker. They'd got a legal expert. They'd got a traffic policy expert. They'd got the press officer, and then they'd got this other gentleman, right? So anyway, we sit down, and I start to read out this first killer email that's going to get him. And then the door flings open, right? And I thought, I'm not into distraction techniques. I'm carry on talking to the minister. And in floats Lord Flight, right? And he comes in, and then he says, hello, Norman, how are you? And I went, oh, Howard, so pleased you can make it.
Very good.
And do you know what happened?
Always important if you can actually be on first-name terms with the Lord when he flies in, as Lord Flight would actually do, or float in.
It was amazing, because he said... And Norman went, oh, he said, and what's your take on this?
Did he really do that, Sarah?
He did.
Because, see, how do you suppose, if only Prime Minister's question time could have people going, oh, you know, on a regular basis.
It was surreal, Alex. And I was like, oh, it's so funny. Anyway, he said, well, what's your take on this? And what he said, I just grew 10 foot. He said, you know what they said about Germany? He said, you know, if they'd said if women like this, I mean, the whole group of us, basically stood up for something that they knew that was just so... morally wrong, there would have been a different outcome. Well, the room went silent, and I was like, right, let's carry on with the meeting. And
sorry, another round of applause was just blossoming there, really. Very good.
Anyway, we carried on with the meeting, and the long and short of it is, A, we couldn't get our public inquiry, but Norman Baker said, well, I said, what about the Stafford Hospital one? And he said, oh, well, that was because it's NHS, blah, blah, blah. And I said, no, it wasn't. I said, under 1995 Public Inquiries Act, they got it through that. So I am going to challenge them later. But what the crux of it came out of it is that they're going to write to Staffordshire County Council and ask them if this development complies with the Equalities Act 2010. And from what I've done and how many people I've spoken to, it cannot, Alex, because the three crossings are just so badly designed for disabled, blind, vulnerable.
They need
people.
A roundabout, clearly.
Yeah, yeah. So that happened, but... that's going to put shockwaves through County Council. I know they can't comply. But then Lord Flight comes to our rescue yet again. Mm-hmm. And then we're sitting outside, and he's going to ask a question in the House of Lords, and basically to ask them, has government looked at the alternative views of this shared space? Because it's going across everywhere. There's one in Thirsk, one of these shared
spaces. It's getting closer. You know, it'll be before too long, they'll be battling to get rid of the roundabouts in Redcar as well.
We'll be like America then. We'll have nothing left.
Exactly.
But basically, Alex, we've got two questions now on disability. One at a county council level and one at a national level, right? But it gets even better because then I had a phone call off Mr. Blunkett's office and the lady said, I think he would be interested in helping because I'm going to set up a pan-European working group on this because the MEP is from Europe and he will help me with this. So he's interested. The disability minister we wrote to, she's interested. So all of a sudden, the fact that these people that should be there to look after us and help us and give us a nice lifestyle, they've pushed us that much that we're taking it to Europe next.
For this
shared space. Just tell me, if you're blind, right, how do you get across a road and you look at their driver in the eye and tell them you want to cross the road?
Yeah, well, that's why David Blunkett will be instrumental in helping from his point of view.
Definitely. So, you know what, the more and more people push me and say no, like the Olympic thing.
Listen, Sarah, I've just pulled up on YouTube, leak to London to save the roundabout. You know, this is what it's all about, guys, you know, keeping it real. You know, there are other stations that might even sort of consider this, but, you know, we're behind you all the way. I mean,
can you just imagine, Alex? In the Met Office yesterday, right? Sorry, on Thursday.
Leak's
can
magic
you
roundabout.
Them talking about.
Give Leak a chance.
They got the light to come to us, right? Can you imagine them saying, well, actually, the average age is whatever, like pensioner, and they've got a big picture saying, Land Open Glory, save our roundabout.
Exactly.
Can you imagine what the Department of Transport will look like? And do you know what, as well? When we left the meeting, the press officer had the audacity to tell me, she said, now, next time, can you come down? Can you please inform me what you're planning? Huh. And I said, I'm sorry, love. I said, ITV didn't tell us till late on they were coming. And I said, you know what? If we have a Coventry incident where this man was killed within a month of this space opening, I said, you lot will be held account. Well, anyway, she shut up then. I thought, well, because basically she said, all my staff have been working for you. I thought, well, you're a public servant.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why you want Sarah Gayton on your team.
Absolutely. Yes, definitely.
What goes round?
No.
Sarah, it's been fantastic as ever. Just touching on, do you any quick questions for Sarah, actually, because we need to move on.
I would like to say I am absolutely in awe of Sarah. I think she's absolutely fabulous.
And you can go, as I say, to the YouTube channel and go a whole range of things. The Culture Corner, Leak Roundabout, Give Leak a Chance, Leak's Magic Roundabout, Britain in a Day, Sarah's Day, a whole range of other bits of it, Leak to London. It's all up there, so we'll continue to work through that.
Can I tell you as well? They press released in Japan, in Hong Kong, in Slovakia, in Switzerland, Zurich, main news on our roundabout. And in Switzerland, they're taking out traffic lights to put roundabouts in because of environmental green issues.
We might not have finished well in the European Championships, but we've got a roundabout to actually go global with.
Yeah. Well, it was viewed as well on the webcam by 88 countries in the world. That's over 43% of the whole world was watching our roundabout at one point.
I can't wait to see what the fuss is about, honestly.
You'll be straight on there, won't you?
Yeah, I will.
Accessing the whole thing.
Indeed, yeah.
Just Google Leak Roundabout, and it's got its own search Google engine now. It's hilarious. We were sitting there with a 70-year-old man, and we clicked on it, and it just looked at me, and we started laughing, and said, we've made it onto, like, Google now.
And quite rightly so. Still to come on the show, we've got Katrina Lake and we've got Katie Grimmison from Birmingham. Lou Bevin will be updating us on the recent sort of adventures in the agricultural scenario, and Alan Stevens will be with us as well. But can you remember, Dee, those last two questions for Sarah Gayton, please?
I do. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic conversation with us this morning?
Absolutely stunning.
And will you be joining us again in the near future?
I think once I will come up to Teesside, and if you want me to give a talk, I will come up and give a talk and come on again. I'll absolutely love it.
I would come, definitely.
And don't forget, of course, our midweek drive cousin as well, Sarah, because you're booked for that as well.
Definitely. I've just got to get this roundabout saved and then, well, back in. And I'll be down like a shot.
Introducing Katrina Lake, Oxford student, cellist, singer in a barbershop quartet.
Katrina Lake.
And Miss York, all in one unique human package. Katrina Lake, available now on Southside.
Technically, we don't introduce you anymore, do we, Katrina? I suppose we do, but yeah, we should have an Abbey Bells promo there, shouldn't we? Never mind. So you're reaching us from the joys. Apologise if people are actually downloading this. We've had one or two. I think it's the weather. You know, every so often when the weather gets a bit inclement and it's sort of persistent rain. There hasn't been that much persistent rain around. Never mind. It's all down to the electrics. Stop complaining, Alex Lefchuk. Just get on with the show. Oh, we all heard the whole thing. It's coming through there. What have you been doing with the Abbey Bells since you last connected, of course, with D-World at the Scarborough Military Adventure Park?
Yes.
Back in those halcyon days of, what was it, February, March, April?
March, I think.
That's right. When Dee was just a fresh newbie to the Southside experience.
It was.
And we said, get thyself down to the Military Adventure Park. Leave your family.
Yep.
Just join up for the whole thing. Just leave them completely and you'll meet Katrina Lake in
it. It was cool.
Exactly.
Very cool.
A lot of people say that when they meet you, Katrina. Yeah, very cool. Very important. So what have you been doing in betwixt times?
Well, it's been a really busy few months for the Abbey Bells. Last time we spoke on the phone, we were just doing a Jubilee anthem. So one of our ladies had composed and arranged that for us. So we were singing that everywhere. We had a coffee morning. We went on a busking tour of Stratford and the Cotswolds for a weekend and we're busking around there. We've been singing at the Olympic Torch Relay when it came to Selby back in the beginning of June.
See, ideally they should have been down singing We Want Our Roundabout Back.
Yes.
But we'll work on that. I haven't actually quite written it much yet, Katrina, but I'll make it clear in terms of what it's all about, a roundabout in Staffordshire, so it's a case of showing support on that basis. Do you have a Facebook site, don't you, for the Abbey Bells?
We do, yes.
Yeah, just show me what it is, because I seem to have temporarily mislaid it.
If you search for Friends of Abbey Bells,
Ah, it's, you see, I wasn't searching for friends because clearly it's very important. Mm-hmm. Okay, friends.
He knew he wouldn't get anything.
You see, this is the whole point, you know? But I try to ease away from that, otherwise I just become a very sad so-and-so, really. It's not good at all.
Aww.
Never mind, yeah, it's still good. Fantastic. And you may sort of think, well, can we listen to the Abbey Bells? Unfortunately, Katrina, I've temporarily left your other sort of system down in our studios in Siren, so it's there, but I'm not going to run 126 miles away to get through that. But we will play some more Abbey Bells. When's the album coming out, by the way?
Well, we do have one CD which has our Jubilee track on for a very reasonable price of £2. So I'm sure if anybody wants one, they can get in touch through our Facebook page or send us an email through our website. And we can send it out to them.
I want one.
Yes, same here.
Yeah, we've got two orders already.
Make it three. What the hey? Let's smash the boat out. Six English pounds coming your way. Fantastic stuff there. I've actually the Friends of Abbey Bells chorus. There we are. You see this? I'll just hold the
all in red.
Yeah, exactly. It's almost Welsh, isn't it? Welsh like.
Yeah, totally.
Wow. Yes, all singing there. We shall like that as well. I thought I had liked it, but obviously I haven't. So.
Looks impressive.
Oh, yes, I have liked it.
So Lady in
it.
Red.
I have liked the whole thing.
Ladies in Red.
Ladies.
Is Dancing with That.
For a moment, I was thinking Rob Brydon. I thought you were channeling Rob Brydon on the whole pieces there, which is excellent stuff. Okay, questions for Katrina. Off you go, Jim. Ask away, because obviously Welsh, you know, male voice choir, you've been doing jingles for local presenters of the BBC who were trained at Southside. John Foster, are you listening? Probably not, but that's okay. Would you like to actually sort of just quiz Katrina on her life and times and Abbey Bells?
Where to start? But
the very beginning. A very good place to start.
How? Oh, yeah, it's a song.
ABC.
Like that. Yeah. Don't really mean.
A deer. And a female deer. Yeah.
Julie Andrews. Do you consider yourself like Julie Andrews, Katrina?
She's the Mary Poppins of our location reports. Sorry, I shouldn't.
With singing talent and overall beauty. Were you Miss York?
I was
well?
Thinking practically perfect in every way, but never mind. Much like Dee, really.
Do you aspire to be in film as well, so you can sing and be on a big screen?
Not personally, no. I think the chorus is just it's not looking at being professional. It's just looking at having a good time and singing to the best of our abilities, and eating lots of cake.
Well, why not? That's ace. And
Do you find that cake eating is a crucial part of keeping the vocal cords, you know?
It definitely helps us sing better.
Mm. Puts you in a good mood.
I can't wait to hear. Have you been singing all your life then?
I joined the chorus when I was 13, so I've been with it most of my life.
Yeah. And do you?
Mum was already in the chorus, so I used to go and watch when she was singing when I was younger as well.
Okay. Do you write your own music as well sometimes, or do you do other styles?
No, I've never done it myself. There are quite a few ladies in the chorus that have had a bash at arranging over the years and writing a couple of songs. So, it is something that can be done. I just haven't ever tried it myself.
Yeah.
And have you thought, Katrina, about a suggestion I made of getting the Friends of Abbey Bells, or the Abbey Bells chorus, to actually sing right in the middle of the military adventure park in the pouring rain whilst we've actually got tanks, miniature tanks driving around? Because I think that would be quite a nice little angle to go for, really.
I think that'd be brilliant. Yeah, I would love to do that. I could sing in the army. I have mentioned it to the chorus, and they'd be up for it as well, so just need the invitation.
I think we'll sort of look together, assuming it won't be rained off, but still, I don't know. Very strange. As we said, Katrina, this week, the York Maze, which we normally cover and feature in its own way, they've postponed their opening because of the inclement weather. And what is the theme for the Yorkshire Maze this year? Have you been to the York Maze before, Jim?
No, I haven't, no. Mm-hmm. I've been to York, but not to the
York Maze. Do you
Don't let me loose in a maze. I would be very scary.
Oh.
Very, very, yeah. I would get really freaked out. I would.
Last time Katrina and myself did the Orc Maze, we just had a few chain axe wielding murderers and zombies attacking us.
That was all right. I could deal with those. That would be all right.
So you go to the Facebook thing, work through that, you'll find the magical maze coming through. I might do that as we speak at this particular. Now, of course, the theme that he's chosen for this year is not James Bond or Star Trek, which have been the themes in previous years. It's 2012, the Age of the Apocalypse. Is he surprised that he's going to have to cancel the maze? Please, Tom Piercy. But no, we're fingers crossed we'll be at the York Maze in around about mid-August and so on. But clearly, as we'll find when we talk to Lou Bevan, the man whom D-World thinks is John McCurrick in disguise.
is that the gentleman, right? Yes, he's a lovely gentleman.
Yes. You've worked with Lou before, haven't you, Katrina?
Yes, I think I have.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I know. Anyway, he still thinks very highly of you, good self. So it's great stuff as far as that's concerned. And in terms of ordering these Abbey Bells jingles or CDs, etc., do we just put them in through the Facebook site? Do we go to the web page? How do we actually get hold of them?
Well, we've not had any requests for them since we've been selling them, so you can do whatever you like. You can do it on our Facebook page or... there's a contact us page on our website as well, so you could do it through there.
I might look to contact you directly with respect to that and put in the order.
We'll push it.
Now, the other thing which I think is shocking, and I think we can actually put this up by at least, if not greater than, I see that in terms of people going to the Friends of Abbey Bells, there are only 29 likes, one of which is Sarah Brock. So, you're going to like them, aren't you, Jim?
I like them already.
There you go.
But yes. I haven't clicked like, but maybe they're sort of shy likers. They don't want to be seen to be liking, but we need to raise the profile, and it's okay to like.
This is very true. There we are.
I'm going to like them. And I'm going to like them through every other page that I've got that I've set up just to play games on as well.
Exactly.
I've written it on my hand, so I don't forget.
Very good.
Because you never lose your hand, you know.
I like Katrina Lakin. I hope my wife doesn't see that.
The Friends of Abbey Bells Chorus. Fantastic. You see, we're working very hard to get this whole thing sorted through. I'm still looking to actually go down the maze. There's a lot of information actually on the sort of things that we've actually done over the last year. That's the thing about Facebook. I've just passed yourself in a tank, Katrina.
I had Alex Lechuk has poked you this morning on mine.
It's not good, is it, really?
Oh, dear me. Hell of a night.
It's just too scary, and I can't cope with that in any way, shape, or form. Deny everything. That's the important line.
Is it on red in it?
We have got the news review coming up very shortly. But Dee, anything you'd like to sort of quiz Katrina about in terms of life, universe, Saint-Gobain glass? He's so shameless plug. They're not one of our sponsors, but she does work with them, so carry on.
Well, yeah, I mean, do you find that you're so passionate about what you do? Because it comes across that you really enjoy it. So does it kind of take over your life, or how much time do you devote to the actual singing?
Well, it tends to be at least one night a week. We have a night of rehearsal, but then there's always other things going on. We have sing-outs every so often, and the committee meetings, planning sort of what the next step is going to be, competitions to sing at, and things like that. So it's been quite manic for the last few weeks, because we've also been doing a thing called Evil Vox, which has been a celebration in York of 800 years since we got the Royal Charter from King John. So it was about 20 choirs all singing and processing through the streets and then singing a big anthem.
I thought you were going to be part of that, Katrina, because our colleagues at BBC York were almost in emotional wrecks after the result. They found it very moving, 800 years since the
Charter. It was amazing. Yeah. Yeah, it was a really good experience. There's loads of clips on YouTube if anybody wants to listen to it, but it was really good.
I'm just actually sort of pointing out the last time Katrina and myself were in the York Maze. You see that? Good legs, I think, you'll find. Very much.
Very tall, aren't you, Alex? I didn't realise you were that tall, or am I just that small?
Exactly. In fact, as Prue Stubbs say, she wanted to vote that as our new profile pic because it was genius, which is great for that sort of point of view.
It's very good.
What do we search for, Katrina, to listen to those sessions that you were just talking about?
I think if you go onto YouTube and type in Ebor Vox, EBOR VOX.
Right, Ebor Vox.
There you go.
Yeah.
Good, like the Ebor Festival, but only with singing as opposed to horses. Nay!
similar.
Yeah, please. This is one of the reasons why Louise thought it was just like, you know, the comedians are there, you know, and she can cope, bless her heart, you know, she's gone into hiding, therapy. That's why, Jim, I've set her up with D-World when they're calling the quiet ones.
That was probably the wrong decision. Like,
I feel it's kill or cure when it comes to Louise. Anyway, we shall carry on regardless. It was a bit of news from this point of view that thrifty shoppers have found a way of keeping up with high fashion in austere times. Rather than splashing out hundreds of pounds on a new pair of Christian Louboutin's trademark red-soled heels, they're apparently painting the soles of cheaper shoes with red paint. At Homebase, sales of 75 millilitre pots of bright red shades have risen by 40% in the last year.
Oh,
there we are.
Well.
The old paint out these two tea bags.
I've got nothing for that. Are you sure it's not for like Middlesbrough supporters to paint their shirts?
We started with red. We thought we'd actually sort of continue with red.
It must have been more than 50 shoppers. Or was it thrifty shoppers?
There are 50 ways to leave your Louboutins, as Paul Simon once didn't sing. Anyway, still to come, Katie Grimerson, our lass from Birmingham, who can't listen to us online because obviously this is just for you, dear listener, in the James Cook University Hospital. Hello. And I'll sort of focus elsewhere, but hopefully we'll be uploading it and putting various other bits and pieces there. The last two questions for Katrina Lakin are what, Jim?
Well, I'm on the spot now. I'm just thinking, because did I hear correctly that you were Miss York?
He's completely missed the point, hasn't he, really? I mean, last two questions. Do we sort of go to...
Oh, those two questions. Oh, sorry, those two questions.
Sir Patrick Moore. Did I hear it correctly, Sir Patrick, that you were Miss York? You know, it's
going to be... Those two questions, all right. Well, I've never done these before. I'll try. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic so-and-so...
Link.
There we are, Link. Chat. Have you had one of those? And the next one...
I know she hasn't. Yeah, I don't think she's answered.
I think I was talking over her.
Was that a yes or a no, Katrina?
That was a yes.
Oh, wonderful.
I just thought she was laughing.
And the next one, I think, is along the lines of, can we look forward to connecting or... meeting Lincoln with you again in the
near
future.
Not in a
future.
Desperate way, obviously, but, you know. Please. Scary, really.
Thrown in at the deep end. Expected to remember all these things. So can we?
Yes.
Wonderful.
Right, she's going to say no after all that, wasn't she?
I'm off. See you next week.
Perhaps the universal truth is what makes us subject.
Okay, you just blew my mind.
I'm quite right, too. The truth is out there. Still available from all good online retailers, etc. Phil Lynn is, of course, director of The Truth is Out There, regular on the Midweek Drive, and in a breaking news story, which is the equivalent of Sarah Gayton's early news about her Westminster adventures, re the Staffordshire Roundabout and Lord Flight. Phil Leonis has just become friends with Katie Grimerson. Yay! On Facebook. Fantastic. You know, she's there. We sorted through a whole range of things. Katie was updating Facebook and saying, missing the Midweek Drive. She's one of our regular online listeners, which she tunes through. And as I said, we thought it's only right that she joins the parents of Siren FM, basically, Southside Broadcasting, on this Saturday package, etc. How are you, Katie Grimerson?
Yeah, I'm good. Enjoying being home.
That's it, you see. She's a remote contributor for the whole thing, basically. You know, Birmingham being not literally just the centre of England, but the centre of the world as well, from that perspective. Smashing stuff. I've just been showing your photograph to D World and Jim Cleaves in the studio. They were very impressed, Katie. I thought they were mistaking you for Hannah O'Brien, but no. No, it is yourself, as I say, dynamic duo, O'Brien and Grimerson, in the Midweek Drive show for Wednesday, the 18th of April, 2012.
I remember that one.
It was. She has that instant recall. Sorted through. You're messing about whatsoever. Good thing about Katie, she'd always arrive for her American Studies lectures half an hour before they were due to start. It's wonderful. It's great. She's in there in place. It's 9 a.m. in the morning on a Monday. She'd be there at 20 to 9, sorted through. It's great.
Wow.
Excellent. Very impressive.
Dedication.
She's very impressive.
Sort of thing. I can't be late, Alex. I'm very punctual.
It's very exactly.
It's a good quality to have.
Should we have American studies, though? Because America doesn't know about Britain, does it?
Yeah, well, that's why obviously we've axed the course at the University of Lincoln. It's been the last year, you know, with that kind of attitude, frankly, Jim. It's amazing we actually last as long as it did, really. Still, never mind.
I hear that they're just underneath Canada anyway. That's what I've heard.
This is going to work well with our next connection. with Phil Leonis from that perspective. Mind you, technically he does work with a Canadian, with Dean Hagland, and William Shatner is a Canadian as well. So there are
also, oh, yeah.
So of course is Shane Rimmer.
I love Canadians. Wonderful, right?
Exactly.
Don't forget Cameron Tilbury.
How could ever forget Cameron Tilbury, our legend who regularly provides the Cameron Tilbury country music choice? See, this D has experience. Oh, have you? Yes, you have experience.
No, I don't think I have, actually.
You haven't had a Cameron
I don't think I have.
Oh.
No.
Went fast, straight. Yeah. Yeah. And Jim, of course, you haven't actually had the joy of our Southern studios yet, have you?
No, not yet, although perhaps it's Thursday.
There we are, exactly. You won't see Katie unless she flies in from Birmingham or we pick her up on your route, but, you know, she'll always be tuning in for that whole system. Yes, interestingly enough, a mortuary is the last place you might consider a seafront retreat, but Redcar and Cleveland Council is hoping beachgoers will snap up a former morgue in a fire sale of properties. Could be a studio base for yourself, Katie. Just a thought here, you know. One for the goths, I feel, Dee. Boasting a vista onto the North Sea, the council believes the former mortuary, last used in the 1960s and later converted into a shop, will make an ideal beach chalet for surfers at Saltburn by the Sea and expect it to fetch £25,000.
Oh, that little mortuary thing. Yeah. Oh, yes, that's quite cute, that.
Everyone's dying to get it, aren't they?
I wouldn't actually mind that myself.
I don't know if Katie actually got that. I think, you know, so everyone's dying to
get it. I really should stop.
It's amazing. Meanwhile, husbands and wives travelled from as far afield as Australia and Russia to compete in the World Wife Carrying Championship, held in the Finnish village of Sokajärvi, or Sonkajärvi, to be precise. The challenge entails transporting a spouse over a 250-metre assault course in front of 8,000 spectators through pools of water and sand pits filled with obstacles. Sounds like your average Southside location report, to be honest.
While they're worrying about their hair getting blown and their fingernails.
The Finnish lawyer Taisto Mietinen and his wife Kristiina Harpanen were crowned 2012 champions. So well done to Kristiina and Taisto, Finland, winning the World Wife Carrying Championships.
I think we should have something like that in here, in Britain, actually. I think that would be I think that would go down well.
In the studio, it would be ridiculous, be carnage here, depending on numbers that we'd actually get here. You know.
I'd rather do the girlfriend carrying championship because they weigh a lot less, don't they? You know, you let yourself go when you get married.
If I knew you a bit better, I would hit you right now.
Go for
actually.
It, don't
Anyway,
naughty.
Moving on. As you can tell, Katie, it's a very strange atmosphere on a Saturday. You need to just be guided through a regular basis, otherwise.
Crazy.
Oh no, it's just, this is why we don't sort of send it online.
Mother-in-law burying contest at the morgue at Redcar.
And a southern Chinese city is on the alert for piranhas after two people were attacked in a river and is offering a 1,000 yuan, that's £103, reward for every fish caught dead or alive, according to state media in China on Thursday. The government of Guangxi region's Lishu is asking people to hunt the alien South American species, which badly bit two people earlier in the week who were paddling in the Liu River, according to the Chinese Daily. So they're offering, say, £103, piranhas dead or alive.
Oh.
So that's really the news-based thing here.
Chips. Bites back.
From our good friends in Germany, a family feud over sausage succession rights is adding some spice to Berlin's summer. After months of bitter legal wrangling with his mother, Mario Ziervogel opened a fast food outlet serving Berlin's famous dish, the Currywurst. That's fried pork sausage smothered in ketchup and curry powder. His shop is just a few blocks away from his family's restaurants, which was the first to introduce Currywurst to East Berlin in 1960. Mr. Ziervogel's mother, however, had sued him for wanting to name his new outlet Ziervogel's Cult Curry since 1960, because her lawyer argued that the son was not even born in 1960, let alone serving sausages. See, that's what happens when you get a sort of a fight with your mother and son on that sort of basis. The local court ruled on Tuesday that Mr. Ziervogel could keep the restaurant's name, but he had to drop the year. So Ziervogel sausages, fine, but Ziervogel sausages since 1960, no.
Sure. Mm. What's in a name? A sausage by any other name would taste as yummy.
Mm. I'll chase some Sarah Chase when she returns from... Actually, she's not returning from Germany, but she'll be back with us in September from her point of view. And finally, you might like this one, Katie. A pensioner walked away with the bargain of a lifetime when he snapped up a rare designer handbag worth up to £350,000 for a mere £20 at a charity shop. John Richard of West Hempstead bought the bag at the Oxfam shop, covered in images of Andy Warhol and one of only 10 originals created by the Irish designer designer Philip Tracy. The bag is highly sought after and has already attracted an offer of £350,000 from China. Yes.
Well, get yourself to your local charity shop. Yeah, you know what you're going to find, do you?
Down a boot sale tomorrow.
Yeah.
So in the Facebook updates, Katie, I've been seeing that you've been in Birmingham enjoying the weather and the wonderful sort of precipitation that's been there. What sort of things have you been doing? Have you been missing the midweek drive and your regular studio participations?
Yes, I have been missing it, actually. I'm just being in the studio and stuff.
There we are. So what bit have you missed the sort of most, really? I mean, we haven't been able to bring you online. You know, that's
I have missed talking to Phil.
Yeah. See, that's Phil Linus. You can see he's director of, I'm working through that. And you've spoken to Phil, haven't you?
I have spoken to Phil, yes.
Exactly. Cameron yes. Tilbury, forgettable. Phil Linus, unforgettable. Only kidding, Cameron. Sort of through on that basis. Any questions you'd like to put to Katie, Jim, about life, the universe, etc., etc.?
Sure. Wagwan, what are you up to, Katie?
What
are you up to?
What? Just enjoying being home, enjoying my mum's cooking.
What does she do? Does she do Sunday roasts and such?
Oh, yeah, because when you're a student, you miss... I've made Sunday roasts myself at uni, but it's not the same.
No, I was a student once back in the day. I lived on potato croquettes. And I used to make chicken Kiev toasted sandwiches. So what do you make for yourself when you're at uni, when you're not with mum?
I just kind of live on salad.
A student eating salad?
She's a very healthy and sensible person. Whoa. It's either that or whatever her butler actually sort of can provide for.
Jeez.
She is actually renowned as being one of the few students who actually has a valet on tap.
Bring us the couscous, jeez.
It's very, very important.
I need to stop shopping at Marks & Spencer, though, in Lincoln.
Yeah. Other stores are available, obviously.
It's not disconvenient.
Exactly. You know, it's very true from that point of view. From the lead story of the Daily Telegraph, the front page of the Daily Telegraph, Hannah Furness writing about education. School children were once taught that manners maketh man. Today's lesson is rather different, it seems. Pupils as young as 11 have been shown a series of swear words, including those usually regarded as the most offensive, and asked to grade them. Obviously, ready for John Terry's sort of emergency trial here. Or indeed Anton Ferdinand. On a worksheet spelling out each expletive, the children at a school in Barnsley, South Yorkshire, were asked how acceptable it would be to shout the F word across a classroom or shopping centre. You know, 1 to 10, where are you going to go?
As you do. Gosh.
Exactly.
Barnsley, probably a 7. Barnsley.
Or would they actually use another term apparently beloved of John Terry the footballer in any situation? Pupils were asked to decide whether the words were always okay, sometimes okay, never okay, or
the above.
Depends.
What is the national curriculum coming to?
Yeah, a number of parents amazingly have rang the school to complain that the lesson gave children a licence to swear. Campaigners for Courtesy and the Department for Education called it extraordinary and entirely inappropriate.
Absolutely.
I think it's a disgrace. Really.
Since I have an 8 and a 10-year-old myself, I think that's absolutely rather, yeah, indeed.
Shocking. It's almost along the lines of abuse, really, because you don't want them being, like, on purpose, putting... Oh. I'm full of rage. I can't even talk.
The official line, you know, the head teacher didn't see what the problem was. She thought it was acceptable. And questions are included as to whether it was acceptable to shout F off across the classroom or shopping centre or to say S when you drop something. Other scenarios were telling your friends to F off in a jokey manner, calling somebody a D when you are in a situation.
Is it a what? Sorry?
A D.
Oh.
I think it's Richard Head. And using the word C in any situation. Well, the task was set for 700 pupils aged 11 to 14 at, curious enough, Shafton Advanced Learning Centre.
They can GF themselves.
Exactly. Karen Young, 43, you'll leave the ages here, but her 12-year-old stepdaughter Lauren Sparks brought the worksheet home, said, "I don't swear in front of children and don't think they should be subjected to this." Lauren said the kids were going mad in the class, shouting out the swear words. It's giving children a licence to swear. Lawrence's father, Lawrence, said, "I spoke to the receptionist at the school to complain. She said there had been a number of angry calls from parents."
And go F yourself.
But a spokesman for the Department of Education said it would be hugely inappropriate to expose children to obscenities they may never have heard before, adding, "The local authority has a clear responsibility here to take up this matter with the school." I know it was a few years ago, Katie, but when you were actually at junior school, was it just the teachers who used to sort of F and Jeff all the time, or were the pupils as well? You know, what's going on here?
I just can't really remember, not really. I don't think we were allowed to swear in class or anything.
Right. That's the general thinking on it, really, isn't it? You know.
I think that's
well, there we are. And if that's come across from the lass from Birmingham, not too far away from Wolverhampton.
If it's disgusting down
with
there.
With a finger on the pulse. As Phil Lennis has literally said, Birmingham's Katie gift to the galaxy, Katie Grimerson. You know, that's the key thing.
In the kids' defence, in general, I'm a primary teacher, and most kids have got impeccable manners. I've taught in Grangetown.
Sir. You do realise that "saw" actually translates as a Hungarian form of "scheisse," which is a different form entirely.
I know now.
Apologies for anyone who was deeply offended by that German use of the word, but never mind. It's just a thought there.
Most kids are still little gems, and they know their manners.
Bless, exactly so. We've got a little treat for Katie now, although she's mostly a rock person, so I'm not sure how she's going to cope with this. she rocks with the mix. Well, you know, comes from the same area as Slade, you know, what can you say? So if I said Gordon Lightfoot, you're probably going to wonder, what sort of Canadian are you referring to now? Well, this one, stay online, Katie, because although we might sort of feature this again on Wednesday, this one's for you. Katie's mum, regularly. Daylight, Katie, come home.
Very fitting, Alex.
I think it could be the theme for the Wolverhampton Speedway team, first off.
Come home and have your Sunday dinner.
Exactly.
It was the perfect song for a lazy Saturday, Alex.
Hey, there you are, you see. Exactly.
I'm still in my bed attire.
Please, too much excitement at this stage of the day. It's just too much. Can't go with the whole thing. For goodness sakes. This is why she's... But she does actually listen to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition in bed, which is nice. Yeah, it's very good. Did you catch this week's little special that we did, all about the day that we went to the CLA Game Fair Press Day, and indeed the sheer wonderment of the first and only working day of the Great Yorkshire Show this week?
Yeah, I listened to about half of it, I think.
What was your favourite bit of that, Katie? Because, you know, it's a bit of customer survey here. What did you find most enjoyable about that? Much like D World, never remembering meeting Cameron Tilbury, although she said herself she's a self-confessed hater of all things to do with country music, which is not a good place to start when you're dealing with Cameron.
A self-confessed hater.
But I love the Canadian accent, though, so I would have remembered if I'd actually spoken.
I think you did, you know.
I think you did.
I'm fairly certain on the show, because Cameron is there, we've got every week, every Wednesday, except in very rare occasions where we kind of reset. I'm fairly sure he was there the Wednesday.
Then I must have.
I think so. Yeah, he'd be very sad. I put this up online.
I feel terrible now. Don't.
That's important. Still to come on the show today, we have Lou Bevin, our countryside expert and indeed key contributor. And he was actually on the show on Wednesday, so Lou will be back with us. And of course, we've got Alan Stevens to squeeze in as well. Dee, do you have to leave us shortly? Or are you...
I do, I'm afraid. Yeah, sorry.
Well, Katie, would you like to ask Dee World the last two questions from your perspective? Because, you know, I know you can do this, girl, because you've done it so well. Off you go, please, Katie. Has she had a reasonably interesting chat speaking to your good self? Because it is important. It is the Katie Grimerson, you know. And can the Grimerson household family look forward to connecting with you in the near future? So off you go, Katie.
Have you had a reasonably interesting conversation with me today?
It's been spiffing. Thank you, if I can get it out. Spiffing.
Well, spiffing translates as very good in Birmingham, but if you go to
good!
You know, she's not swearing at you, Katie, don't worry. And the next question is?
And can I look forward to speaking with you again?
Very good.
Definitely, yes.
I feel vindicated from my questions now. We got there, didn't we?
So she's just finger on the pulse, that's important. Yeah. Katie, you'll be back with us on the show for the Midweek Drive. That's sirenonline.co.uk sometime between 5 and 7 this coming Wednesday. We've got Arthur Weingarten there. We've also got Professor Brian Winston in the studio. We'll have...
I had him for a lecture.
Yeah, it's exciting, isn't it? Yeah.
lecture.
I knew where you were going there, Jim, and I'm not even going to rise to that bait. You know, please. If you want to play that bit back, feel free to play it back. But yes. Katie Grimerson has indeed had the joy of Professor Brian Winston providing a lecture for her with respect to American Studies. So that's great from that bit. I suppose I had him sorted. sorted.
That's like me saying I woke up with Bill Steele's face in my head every night.
Yes, well, there you are. You're listening to Southside Broadcasting's Double Entendres here on Saturday morning with our link up and in association with PharmaNorge Nutritional Supplements Limited. Katie, you're going to be back with us on sirenonline.co.uk, so we'll speak with you again on Wednesday, and hopefully you'll join us again on Southside Broadcasting, yes?
Yeah.